May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 744. No awful sense we find of sin, the sinful life and sinful heart, no loathing of the plague within, until the Lord that feel impart. But when the Spirit of truth is come, a sinner trembles at his doom. Hymn 744.
Thank you. Shall we read together this morning from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians? Paul's epistle to the Ephesians in the New Testament. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, reading chapters 1 and 2. The epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherewith he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his glory to us ward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and help us now to approach unto him. Let us pray. almighty, eternal, holy, holy, holy Lord God. In thy purposes, we are found here in thy house once more, gathered on thy day. And we pray, O Lord, that truly we are gathered in thy name. And O Lord, we pray that we are amongst those who are gathered in thy name, in that love to thee, that love to thee, because thou didst first love us. That it is our desire, we would come reverently before thee, O Lord, to be found in our Father's house this day, as we are amongst those loved of thee, O Lord, from all eternity. O gracious Lord, help us then in our coming before thee, that we pray for thine help, O Holy Spirit, that there might be that inditing, that pouring out of prayer from our hearts, not, Lord, just from our lips, that there might be granted to us each that true spirit of prayer, whether pulpit, desk or pew, as we are found at this time of prayer. O gracious Lord, look upon us. Look upon us for good, that we pray unto thee, the Father, that in thy eternal purposes there might be that blessing to be poured out upon us as we are gathered in thy name, Lord Jesus, thy name above every name, thy name above all principality and power, thy name, O Lord, O we pray, that is sweet unto us, that name we love to hear. And yet, Lord, we come begging the forgiveness of our every sin, our wandering hearts, minds, our lack of love to thee, our hearts taken up with those many things, drawn away, and yet, Lord, thou art the good shepherd. Thou art that one who careth for thy people. And oh, might the sinner cry, and might know it in their soul, O Lord, who careth for me. That thou might hear that cry, Lord, this day, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Might there be a bringing back, a restoring, a returning. Might there be that known in our soul of thy power, of thy drawing love, of thy redeeming love, of thy merciful love, to melt the hardness that is in our hearts. O Lord, dear David cried, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. And gracious Lord, thou knowest, Lord, how we each are found. We may look upon each other and yet, Lord, not know anything of what is going on inside. But thou knowest, nothing hid from thee, O Lord, whether we are young or old, nothing hid from thee. So we pray, Lord, that in thy rich mercy it might be even this day a time of renewing, a time of refreshing in our never-dying souls. Undeserved, O Lord, as one cried, I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies. And yet, Lord, thy mercy is rich and free. So, gracious God, do so come into our midst this day. Come, Lord, might there be that known in our souls, that peace that passeth all understanding. Thy felt presence, it is I, be not afraid. And O gracious Lord, any that sit unconcerned in these things, in these matters, their eternal state, might there be in thine electing love and mercy, even those in this place, yet to be born again, yet to be brought into that concern. O Lord, that work of the new birth, that work in the heart, that work unlooked for, but that work appointed and all of thee. O Lord, we pray even in this little place, O Lord, in this corner of thy vineyard, there might, Lord, yet be souls born again. We would pray for the little causes of truth, our own Lord. Oh, a bringing back, a bringing in. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, for eternity is before us each. None will escape that appointed day of judgment. Might it be that cry that goes up, Lord? O Lord, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For none of us here, Lord, know, none in this world know, that time nor that hour when thou wilt come. Thou hast declared, be ye also ready. Be ye also ready. Lord, thou seest us. Thou knowest, Lord. What we are and where we are. Oh, work, Lord, mightily in our midst. And as we are spared once more to gather round thy word, we have read thy word, Lord. But oh, what of us? O gracious Lord, as we come to the preaching of thy word, the opening of it, might there be that felt special need and help given unto us now in that leading of our thoughts, in that opening of thy word, that it might fall into hearts prepared of thee. And O gracious Lord, hear that cry into my heart prepared of thee. For gracious Lord, the work is thine, from beginning to end. O Lord, salvation, all of thee. And yet, in thy mercy, thou hast loved a people from all eternity. Thy wondrous love and mercy, as that cry goes up unto thee, Lord, even in this place, thy love from all eternity, even to a sinner such as me. So help us now, Lord, be with us, be with those that gather here, O Lord, be with those with the responsibility of the place. Might there be the upholding of their arms. Might thou, Lord, grant that needed help, that needed wisdom. Might thou watch over each one, O Lord, from the youngest to the eldest. Might thou, Lord, watch over them. And if it could be thy will, raise up one even to be that one, to be that under shepherd, to care for them. O Lord, so watch over them, and we would be mindful to bear before thee the children, those babes, those years as they grow up, and that wisdom we pray unto the parents in the bringing up of the children, in that fear and admonition of thee. O Lord, and all that there is around that would draw away, O Lord, grant that wisdom, we pray. And the young people, O Lord, be with them. Might thou hear those prayers that go up for them. Might there be a keeping, a watching. But those answers to prayer concerning their never dying soul, their eternal state. And those of later years, Lord, even thou hast promised to old age, I am with thee. What a mercy thy word declares such things, but oh, much more to know thy presence. Be with the gatherings of thy people, wherever they are, O Lord, even throughout this world. We would remember those in those lands of persecution, those lands where even the places of worship are destroyed. And yet, Lord, nothing will destroy thine eternal purposes. Nothing. O Lord, so might we have that right prayer for thy true church throughout this world, those of thy people, loved from all eternity. And might we have that right prayer for the coming of thy kingdom, for that day when thou wilt come. Or we might sing those words to take thy people home. But, O Lord, hear that cry to take me home, as we ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 170. What a doleful voice I hear. What a garden scene is there. What a frightful, ghastly flood. Jesus weltering in his blood. Hymn 170.
Thank you.
Lord, might help us this morning. I would direct your thoughts to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, and chapter 2, and the latter part of verse 12. Having no hope and without God in the world. Having no hope and without God in the world. The whole verse reads that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The apostle, as we have read together in writing to the church at Ephesus, reminds them of what? Of that work of grace in their heart. Of that work of salvation, that mighty work that, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, that had taken place at Ephesus, that city so full of idolatry and no doubt many other sins in the midst, in that following of that false god, even Diana. And that work in their souls, the opening of their blind eyes, the work of salvation, and that leaving of those things that they had been so taken up with, those things of the occult, those things of darkness, and the destroying of those books. 50,000 pieces of silver, I think it was. That work of grace, that work in their heart, in their never dying soul. But in this letter to them, as though the apostle writes to remind them that salvation, their salvation, all of Almighty God, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Nothing of their, and we speak carefully and reverently, of their intellectual ability, of their understanding, or whatever it was, nothing of them. And we sang in that first hymn of Berridge, no power his nature can afford to change his heart or purge his guilt, no help is found but in the Lord, no balm but in the blood he spilt. A ruined soul, condemned he stands, and unto Jesus lifts his hands. And yes, that work of salvation, but that work of grace in your heart, my heart, if we are truly of the Lord's people, was that work from beginning to end of Almighty God. If we look into our own hearts, it was that work unlooked for. That work unlooked for, as in this church at Ephesus, as in the Corinthian church, as in all of the hearts of the Lord's people, that opening of the heart, that work within, may have been with some of you, that sitting under the truth of the gospel, and yet meaning nothing to you, unmoved, unconcerned. Perhaps your only concern was to be how quick you could get out of the door. And yet, that time in your life, perhaps that cry, why am I thus? And as with some of us who knew nothing of the house of the Lord, and yet, that looking for that satisfaction in this world, the so-called pleasures of it, till that time, that arrow of conviction, we can speak of it now, use those words, but O child of God, at the time, that blackness, that darkness, that cry, why am I thus? Why these concerns? Why these thoughts? Eternity. Eternity. There was such a thing, there is such a thing. Perhaps no concern for it, may have heard of it. But now, eternity, the sound of it, and the realization that eternity is but spent. We would not say these things lightly. Or just say the words. Heaven and hell. An eternity. A never-ending eternity with the present, in the presence of Almighty God. The singing of the praises. The eternal praises. Of the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell, that casting out into hellfire and damnation. We read in Hebrews that God is a consuming fire, ever consuming, ever consuming, never consumed. Hell. And the scripture declares, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the just desert of all who have sinned, disobeyed the will and command of Almighty God. In his justice, his right justice, is to be condemned, to be condemned. As the dying thief spoke to that other thief upon the cross, seeing we are in this right condemnation. We indeed justly condemned. He felt that state that he was in. The eternity before him, that condemnation. We indeed justly, but this man, that one who he had railed upon with the others and those others gathered, that scene at Calvary, now that heart opened. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The bringing of him to see a beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And we may sing, behold a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. We've sung of that doleful scene, sung of Calvary, sung of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what of these things to you, to me? What of eternity before us each? And that not of yourselves. No. Salvation. All of Almighty God. Nothing. Nothing. Of us, all of Him, all of electing love and mercy. And as we read together, we might use the words, the foundation truths of the gospel of Christ, of salvation, in that opening chapter of the Ephesians. Nothing, as it sets forth, nothing of us or of Him. A people loved. Why? Because of what they might be, what they might do. No. No. A people loved because Almighty God loved them. No merit in them. Set His love upon them. And in Deuteronomy, we read of the Lord speaking to the children of Israel. Yes, in that context. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon thee, or upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep His oath that He'd sworn unto the Father, because the Lord loved you. Dear child of God, as we may have said before, if we know anything of the reality of these things, it will be in the echoing of those words, why me? Why me? Why such a wretch as me? Why? Because He would. The sovereignty of Almighty God, the love of Almighty God, a people loved, chosen, because He would. And His people, and we do not say this in any presumptuous way, no. A people loved from all eternity to eternity. people, a number that none can number, given unto the eternal Son, the bride, given unto the eternal Son, the bridegroom. And the work of God, the Holy Ghost, that power implanted from above into the hearts of each one of his people. Salvation, all of Almighty God, loved before the foundation of the world, loved from all eternity. And as the apostle goes on to remind them, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, nothing here of creature ability, of the ability of any, we use that term in the right sense, mankind, to save themselves. We may sing, in the hymn, treat all as deceivers who lead not to Christ. And that great deceit of Satan, that man can save himself. No, for by grace are ye saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, freely given. And oh, what a mercy, if you and I know anything, we would speak reverently of the price of that gift, that you've sung of in that second hymn. He who knew no sin, even the eternal Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, thou shalt call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. He who came into this world, took into union with his divine nature, our nature, body and soul, as man walked upon this earth, born the babe in Bethlehem, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the walking upon this earth, a man, a real man who laid down his life might take it again. Our sins, if we are his, put upon him, and his righteousness put upon his people, put upon you and me if we are his. And so Paul could write, ye are complete in him. And the apostle knew, did he not, what creature strength was, that he trusted in, his birthright, Hebrew, the Hebrews of the tribe of Benjamin, his learning, he who'd sat at the feet of Gamaliel, his status, his zeal. Where was he brought? As that arrow of conviction went forth in his heart to the dust, to the dust, to cry indeed, "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus, I am Christ, whom thou persecutest. Lord, Lord," is that dying thief brought to take those words upon his lips, "Lord." So Paul in the dust, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That bringing of him to cry unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear child of God, what of you, what of me? Of that bringing of you, that bringing of me, to take that name upon our lips, Lord. In that cry of the publican, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Who caused you? Who caused me to cry unto that name above every name? Nothing of us, all of him. And you hath he quickened. And that word "quicken," what's it speak of? Does it not speak of making alive? Who were dead in trespasses and sins, as we said earlier, I believe, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Death and judgment." And then he reminds them, does he not? "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, to the prince of the power of the air, even Satan, the spirit, and worketh in children disobedience." And whom in time past we had our conversation. These things come close, do they not, child of God? What of our conversation as we profess his name? "Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Reminds them that by grace ye are saved through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And then in that portion before us now, remember, remember what you were. And what the Lord has done for you. What the Lord has done for you. What you were. Having no hope and without God in this world. How solemn are these words. How solemn are these words. Again, we would speak lovingly. We may use that word. These things are very solemn. How solemn. But oh, what's that word speak of? in those contexts. As it concerns the state of a never-dying soul, as it concerns Almighty God, whom we each will have to stand before, as it is appointed unto men once to die, death, then judgment. And as you may know, from the hearing of the word and the reading of the scripture, sin that entered into this world through the fall, through the disobedience of Adam and Eve, the unbelief that entered in, the sin that entered in, and the Lord God proclaimed those words, "From dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." And sin and all the effects and corruptions and abominations and horrific things that entered into this world through disobedience. But the mercy is, that is by one man's disobedience, sin entered into this world through that obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. That way of salvation. For we have in the next verse, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were far off, without God, without hope in this world, made nigh by the blood of Christ." And as we said earlier, believe the redeeming, the electing love, the redeeming love and blood and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blood that cleanseth from all sin. Those loved because he would love. As Paul also declares to the Romans, that state that we are all as we are born into this world, our hearts at enmity to the things of God. Perhaps it may not be with some an outward enmity, but what of that inward enmity to him? But as that work of grace and the eternal purposes of Almighty God is known, you, far off, made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you, having no hope and without God in this world, without God in this world. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we read of that day of judgment when the Lord will come, as was declared on the day of Pentecost, this same Jesus will come again to judge that day of separation. As it speaks of the sheep and the goats, those sheep those loved of Almighty God. My sheep hear my voice known of me. And the goats, those words, those solemn words, depart from me, I never knew thee. And those that will cry, did we not do this? Did we not do that? In thy name. And it may have been indeed, we would speak very tenderly and reverently, having that form of godliness, having an outward appearance, but no inward reality. The religion built upon what they had done, what they had done. And we might use that phrase, but think upon the great distinction in it. That great gulf, as it were, between those words, come, see what the Lord has done for me, what the Lord has done for me. And the great gulf between those other words, come see what I have done for the Lord. How solemn to have that outward form and no inward reality. Oh yes, child of God, those words in Timothy may search us out. What are the reality of it? Without God, may be able to use that name, take that name, but what, as the Lord spoke to Nicodemus, who came to him by night, one versed, as it were, in religious knowledge. We speak reverently. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Could not understand that the Lord spoke of. I believe, as we read later in the scriptures, there was that understanding. But what of you, what of me? What are those words of the dear Lord Jesus? Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And that great distinction, that which is of the flesh is flesh, but that which is of the Spirit is Spirit. And that work of the Holy Spirit is that work begun, performed unto that end, that day, to that end, that day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That work in the eternal purposes of Almighty God, in that covenant of electing love and mercy, the choice of the Father, the redeeming love and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the quickening power, the awakening power of the Holy Spirit. And it is that work in the never-dying soul of a sinner. And where there is that work in the soul, then that desire to follow the Lord. And if that desire is only in the head and nothing in the heart, how solemn that place. How solemn to be found on that day of judgment, without God, without hope in this world. But what a mercy the Lord has loved a people. From all eternity, because he would love. A people. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off, made nigh by the precious blood of Jesus. We may sing, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. For there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, no other name. All of him. My hope, said the hymn writer, is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean upon his name. Nothing of the creature, nothing of us, or of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. How stands the case with you, with me? What of the reality of these words before us? Having no hope and without God in this world. But oh, what a mercy. As the dear apostle declares, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. What a mercy, there is hope for never dying sinners in the finished work. The souls of never dying sinners in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £775, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Stephen Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening in place of Mr. Jabez Rutt, who has a severe attack of flu, and Mr. Ramsbottom will preach next Lord's Day. And the collection next Lord's Day will be for the West Anglia Auxiliary of the Trinitarian Bible Society. There's a notice on the board about that. Let us close with hymn 351. The sinner that by precious faith has felt his sins forgiven is manifestly passed from death and sealed an heir of heaven. Hymn 351.
Gracious Lord, watch over us now. Watch over us during the interval. Do be with the Sunday school. Grant that help there, O Lord, if it be thy will. Do be with us each, O Lord, we pray. Go before us. Pardon what has been said or done amiss, but might there be that to abide, even that to search us out to the honour and glory of thy holy name. O Lord, one thing needful, one thing. So part us with thy blessing. Be with us now, O Lord, we pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the union and communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and forever. Amen.